News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
As you heard in the news headlines, a joint operation is underway in Dublin to remove more than 100 tents pitched along the Grand Canal in the south city centre of Dublin to relocate asylum seekers to other accommodation. Our reporter Stephanie Roan is at the scene. Steph, what's happening there?
The tents are already gone. An incredibly efficient operation, I have to say. At around 6:30 this morning, as you said, a multi-agency operation began involving officials from the HSC, the Gardaí. And again, it was just a case of deja vu. It was like what happened last week on Mount Street. The area was barricaded off. Officials went from tent to tent, took the men's name, told them they were going to go to an IPASC centre. Most of the men were happy to leave. They then gathered their belongings. I saw some of them, you know, essentially have a shower. They took out bottles of water. They cleaned themselves. They said they were happy to go and they got on the bus. And then when that happened, all the tents, X's were put on them. They were numbered. A truck came in with a grabber and it took them all. So, I mean, it's 8 a.m. and already within an hour and a half, all the tents now on the Grand Canal are gone. The asylum seekers are still boarding buses. I saw five, but two left empty, so maybe they weren't needed. And three, I think, in total were filled. And as I said, I was speaking to some men from Afghanistan and they said to me they were happy to go. They're going to an IPASC centre. One or two, though, didn't want to go. They said they'd been in Cruxling before and they didn't like it. So they were a bit concerned about that. And now the water unit is in the canal cleaning it up. And I have to say, within an hour and a half, essentially nothing to see here, but very large fences or barricades have now been put up to prevent another camp city, for want of a better word, from being erected.
Okay, Stephanie Roan, our reporter, thank you indeed for that update.
And staying with this same subject, I'm joined now by Barry Ward, Fine Gael Senator and co-chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee. Good morning to you, Barry. This is a bit of a shambles, isn't it? We had a great sort of furore last week clearing out the Mount Street tent encampment, and within 24 hours, tents sprang up elsewhere. There's no solution here.
I think it's extraordinary to start by saying it's a shambles when your own reporter has just been describing how efficient the operation has been.
Undesirable. That's an hour and a half, Barry. That was the Gardaí doing something in an hour and a half. I'm talking about what the government are doing.
Yeah, no, but I mean, the government is reacting to this situation, and it's not just the Gardaí, it's a multi-agency response that has been coordinated by the Taoiseach's office. It's an important response because we need to deal with this situation. You can't have an unsanitary, unsafe situation where people are living on the side of the street. So actually, I think the government is acting with commendable speed to deal with the situation as it arises. But listening to some people talking about the migration problems we're having, they would think that the government was happy with what's happening, when the reality is that we know that we're facing an unprecedented demand for international protection.
You say, Barry, I have to cut across, you say commendable speed, but there were tents outside the Mount Street office, the IPO, for 14 months. I want to bring Michael McNamara in, independent TD for Clare. Michael, would you agree that the government is doing well on this front?
Look, what the government urgently needs to do is to ramp up processing. At the end of last month, there were 21,500 people waiting for a first instance decision. They have a right of appeal if they're unsuccessful, and then they can make an application for permission to remain if that is unsuccessful. At the end of last year, there were more people waiting for that permission to remain decision than the entirety of the decisions made in the year. All the time, these people have a right to be accommodated. Now, we know that providing accommodation for the increasing numbers is putting huge pressure on the government. That is understandable. But what we need to do is put equal resources into processing people so that we're taking down the processing times, which remain, we remain an outlier in Europe. We remain having longer processing times. Yes, the government has brought down processing times, but nowhere near the EU average.
Okay, let me put that to Barry. Barry, we're doing well, but according to your good self, but why are our processing times so much longer than the rest of Europe?
Well, they aren't, in fact, so much longer than the rest of Europe. But what we have done is reduced it from 4 years, which was very long relative to other European countries, to now 6 months or less. And we're hoping to bring that down to 90 days in respect of most applicants coming from other European Union countries this year. The reality is that Minister McEntee has tripled the number of people who are working in the International Protection Office, which has allowed us to do that. And the number of applications being processed is up to 14,000 now, compared to about 4,000. This time last year. That is the result of government action. And of course, Michael will complain about it. And as I say, nobody in government or anywhere else is happy about what's happening. But there is an unprecedented demand. And actually, the response from government has been very effective. It still isn't enough and still more has to be done. But let's not pretend that there isn't a huge volume of action being done by the government to respond.
A direct question, Barry. These tents are moved. When more tents, and I think with 400 people arriving a week and with 1,700 already homeless, unaccommodated asylum seekers here currently, we're going to see more tents. They're going to be tents somewhere else, Herbert Park or somewhere tomorrow. This is what we're going to see. Is this going to be the plan, that literally we're just going to see tented cities spring up, be allowed to maintain their position for a few days and then be taken down again? Is that going to be what we are going to see or not?
Well, no, all of the time the plan is to provide accommodation for people as they arrive. Now, you're quite right in that there's a number of people who, they're all single males who have not been provided with accommodation, and they are the people who you found, for example, at the side of the canal this morning. If it does reoccur, then yes, it is up to the government to take action to remove those people, absolutely. But the hope is that we will have accommodation in place to deal with them as we go through the system and to accommodate them rather than having the situation rise again.
Michael, is that good enough? Just as tented cities spring up, they'll be taken down. Is that a reasonable response by government in the current climate?
Unfortunately, the processing times are not what Barry suggested they are. I mean, they are in respect of a small cohort of people, but in respect of the vast majority, they're considerably longer than that. And while the minister has increased the staff, it's not to the extent, also, it's nowhere near trebled. I think it's doubled over 2 years, whereas the number of applications have increased at a far greater rate. We need to process people. I mean, we have to have a system in place. It has to be robust. It has to be fair.
But what you're really saying, Michael, surely, is it's not just about processing. It's about deportation. Because we can process them all to our blue in the face if we don't get rid of them, if they're not eligible to stay.
Look, we can't preempt what will be decided, but some people will be found to be fleeing persecution and they will have a right to stay. Others will be found not to be fleeing persecution and they will have to be removed. Part of the problem is that there haven't been removals from the state for a number of years. And the word goes out in that regard. I mean, I remember being in a former life, I remember being in Osh on the Kyrgyzstan-Uzbekistan border in 2002, getting in a taxi and being told that Ireland was a great place to go. You know, there were lots of jobs and there was a good immigration system. So, you know, we do, unfortunately, have to have a system. Okay. It has to be robust, but it also has to be fair.
Absolutely. Barry, what about that? What about the fact that no matter how fast you process, and it appears to be in dispute how fast you are processing people, we need to actively deport people who aren't entitled to stay, and that's not happening?
Well, first of all, I have no problem with that, except that there's no evidential requirement. There's nothing to show that people are not leaving, in fact. Now, what there has been much made of the fact that we are not forcibly removing people from the state, but in circumstances where we are fairly well informed that they are leaving of their own volition when a deportation order is issued, and that was over 750 of them last year, there's no need to be forcibly detaining them and removing them from the state at huge expense to the taxpayer. There were 81 forcible removals from the state last year because of people who weren't leaving, but the Gardaí do monitor these people, and it's important to remember that Ireland is not a place where it's easy to live under the radar. If you were served with a deportation order, you're no longer receiving government supports. You're not in a position. How are you going to survive?
That's not correct.
The vast majority of people, though, leave.
Why is Barry incorrect on that?
Well, because at the end of last year, there were over 100 people in direct provision accommodation being provided accommodation and basic sustenance in the state who had deportation orders.
Barry, your response to that. So you're still providing accommodation and food to people who should be deported.
And when you're in receipt of a deportation order, there is a time factor involved in that. And some of those people were removed from the state by authorities as well. That also takes time. 100 people. Is Michael seriously suggesting that that's the blockage in the system? And the reality is we don't have a problem with people. Michael, what you're suggesting is that there is a problem with people not leaving the state after deportation orders have been issued. There's no evidence for that. There isn't any evidence for it. There were 750 deportation orders issued last year, 754 in relation to unsuccessful
Okay, you said that, Barry. Michael, do you want to respond to that? There's no evidence for what you're saying.
There's no evidence either way. The reality is people go underground when deportation orders are issued. The majority go underground. Some don't go underground. They remain living in direct provision provided by the state and nothing happens. And that, unfortunately, is not a system that is robust and is being implemented.
But again, where's the evidence for that, Michael? How do they live if they're underground? They can't receive support. Parts of the 100 people you appear to be identified.
Barry,
they can't work because they don't have work permits.
Barry, are you suggesting that there's no black market in work, that people don't work?
Of course there is. And indeed, there are people working who are trafficked in this country, and there are lots of problems with that. But the Gardaí have said two things. Firstly, the vast majority of people who are served with deportation orders leave the state of their own volition, and they know that. Secondly, those who don't, first of all, mostly come to the attention of Gardaí. But even if they don't, it's a very difficult country to live under the radar, because if you're working in Ireland without a work permit, you're being paid very, very little. We know what the cost of living is here. It is very difficult to survive in this country in those circumstances.
I think Michael is making the point that they're vulnerable people and they could be exploited.
They're being exploited. But how can you say that the majority of people who go underground come to the attention of Gardaí? But that's not what Gardaí are telling me anecdotally. And certainly, we know the number of people who come to the attention of Gardaí, but we don't know is the number of people who don't come to the attention of Gardaí. I simply do not accept that the majority of people who serve deportation orders leave the state. I don't think anybody who works in the immigration system or has a knowledge of it accepts that that would happen. What happens is they go underground, they're open to exploitation, they live in the shadows. That's why the minister, part of the reason the minister provided an amnesty to people in the course of this law.
You can't simply assert that you don't accept that when there's no evidence for it.
On
what there is clear evidence of is that people are not being removed from the state at the end of the system. They're unsuccessful. That is the only thing of which we can be certain. We can all suppose that people have left the state of their own volition, haven't. We don't know the answer to that. But we do know that people are not being removed.
We are going to have to leave it there. I have no doubt we will be coming back to this as an issue and an ongoing issue. But my thanks to both of you sincerely for speaking to us. That is Fine Gael, Senator there, Barry Ward, and Independent TD for Clare, Michael McNamara.
17 minutes.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.